Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon. I would like to talk to you this morning about giving a present to someone this year. And so as we have begun December and we're here in the Christmas season, hopefully it will be helpful for you to be able to give this present. And I think it's something that whether you're a guy or a girl, old or young, they will benefit from it. It's for the people that who they're just hard to find, but not hard to find, hard to find something for, to find a gift for them. And this gift that you're going to be able to give, I think it will mean something to them. The Canadian Blood Services, I don't know if their slogan still says this. It used to be, if it's not still, it's in you to give. It's in you to give. And so when I talk about giving this present to someone or to someone's, you already have it. You don't have to go shopping for it. You've already got it. And it's like the Canadian Blood Services, that slogan, it's in you to give. I'm going to invite you to give something very specific. So it's not just give anything that you have. It's something that's specific, and there is a price to pay to give it. You'd say, well, I've already got it. What can the price be? There's a price to pay to give this gift. Because I think, like David said years ago, King David said, why would I offer something that costs me nothing? And so there is a cost involved for you to give this gift this Christmas to other people. It's not something that you already have at home that you're no longer using, that you're going to wrap and give away. The cost of this gift, it doesn't have to be monetary. It doesn't have to be something that costs you out of your bank account, but it will cost you. The difficulty is, for me, and perhaps for you, I've found sometimes it's more than I want to pay. It's a cost that sometimes I feel like it's high to pay. When I tell you what it is, you may think I can do that. I can give that gift, no problem. But I've discovered that it is harder to actually follow through than just to talk about. And so my invitation to you this Christmas, invitation, isn't that nice? It sounds rather nicer than a challenge. My challenge to you, there's a harshness. My invitation to you to give this gift this Christmas. Every time you hear the word present, Christmas present, that will help you remember what I'm talking about, what I'm inviting you to give this year, and that is, be present this Christmas. This Christmas, be present. What I mean by that, I don't mean, you know, looking at the person beside you, near you, and saying, hey, this Christmas, I'm your present. Just being with me is a gift enough. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being present with people, being present with people. Some might say, well, of course we're present with the people that we're with. It's kind of like saying, all those who are not here, please raise your hand. We're present, we're here. But we can be present in body without being present in mind, without paying attention. Some might say, well, I'm too broke to pay attention. But paying, there is a cost to pay attention. Sometimes over the years, and I'm better at it now than I was years ago, I didn't always pay attention to my wife Audrey when she was speaking. And she would say to me, and will on still occasion, and not with a harshness, but she'll stop and say, where are you right now? And I will, right, okay, I'm here, I'm back again. I was just thinking about, and I just left. Now, it's not just me in our marriage that this happens to. Because last night we are falling asleep. We're just about to sleep. And I start talking to her, and I said, you know, I remember, and for whatever reason, I said, I remember when Bob Crane died. Bob Crane was the actor who played Hogan on Hogan's Heroes. I began to talk to him. I remember I was in the car. We heard it on the news, and my dad, we stopped and listened that Bob Crane had died. And then I remember my dad saying, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And began to talk about eternal things. And he said, even Robert Blake, the man who plays Beretta on a cop show back in the 70s, he said his knee will bow. And then Audrey goes, "Oh." And I said, "Were you just sleeping?" She said, "Oh yeah, I just fell asleep." And I said, "I was talking." And she said, and I kid you not, truth, she said, "But your voice was so soothing." You'd think this would be the end of the story. It's not. It gets better. And she said to me, "I'm going to go to sleep now, but you can keep talking." So you can be present and not necessarily listening. I remember the moment, it was a few years ago now, I may have told this story before. I remember the moment we were in our front room, we had guests over, as I was speaking, and maybe this is a pattern, maybe it's me speaking, maybe you're getting a little sleepy right now. As I was speaking, I noticed that the person was not listening. Not, but they were, they're looking at their phone, and they're listening, and they would engage with me, And so I inserted in the sentence, and then the purple elephant left the room. And I kept on talking. Nothing. They didn't notice at all. And then at one point, when I knew I had their attention, I said to them, "Do you want me to show you where the off button is on your phone? Do you need some help with that?" I don't think you can trick people too often. That they know that you're not, they know you. People can tell you're not listening. I've been in restaurants, perhaps you have too, where there are TVs. Sometimes they're situated behind me. And I've been with the person where we'll be talking, and every time I look away, I can see them look up at the TV. To catch the score or whatever is going on. And then I look back at them and they look back at me and smile like they're looking, but just, I know you're watching TV. I talked to one lady who said that whenever she goes into a restaurant with her husband, she makes sure to face him away from the TV if they're going to have any chance of having a conversation. Now, I feel like this might be kind of at the Last Supper moment where all the husbands in this room are watching, they're just saying, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" if you have to ask that question, yes, it is you. and if you ask someone, "What did I just say?" And then they say the words, it doesn't mean that they were listening. It just means they have recall in their memory to be able to say those last words. I would just simply say this Christmas about being Christmas present. Is stop multitasking. Stop multitasking. MIT and neuroscientist Earl Miller, he says this. He notes that our brains are not wired to multitask. People think that they're multitasking when in actuality they're just switching from one task to another very quickly, very rapidly. And every time, he says, and they've mapped it, there's a cognitive cost. You could call it multitasking driving. But it really is distracted driving. When I ride my motorcycle, I am far more engaged in what's going on. I am paying attention to the road. I'm paying attention to speed. I'm paying attention to other drivers. All of that. I am fully engaged. When I'm in my car, listening to the radio, listening to the news, I'm drinking a coffee. I'm talking hands-free on the phone. I'm dictating to Siri, all while I'm turning a corner. There's just so many things that can be going on. I'm not multitasking. I'm distracted. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Here's the story in God's word that we're going to look at today. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We say, be present this Christmas. Now, it happened as they went, he and the disciples, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, hear that phrase, and then we'll go on. She welcomed him into her home. Jesus is that welcomed him into her home. And verse 39 says, she had a sister Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet to hear his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary's chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. It's this picture, and perhaps if you've been in church for any length of time, the story might be familiar to you. It shows up with some frequency about Martha and the distractedness of her and the one thing that was needed that Jesus speaks about. But it's just that phrase, she welcomed him. She wasn't unwelcoming. She wasn't unkind. Jesus is here. She opens her home, not only to him, but all the grubby disciples, you know, with their dirty feet and on. And they are a presence. Follow through on Jesus and the disciples. They are a force, some of these guys. And has just opened her home. Jesus is there. And I was going to say, maybe she was glad that he was there. You would think that. The story as we know of Martha, the things we know, just welcomed him. But she was multitasking, and I would think rightfully so. Rightfully so. Jesus is going to be done his talk soon, and this group of people is going to be hungry. We better have something to feed them. Because if she's been around Jesus' disciples long enough, she'll know that hungry can turn into hangry. Any disciples here this morning? Hungry can turn into hangry. And food doesn't just appear. You certainly can't feed this bunch with a little fish and some bread. I don't know what she was thinking other than there's a lot that needs to be done after his talk. And so she doesn't just boss her sister around. She goes right to Jesus and points out, Jesus, would you tell her to help me? Surely you can see what I'm doing for you, what I'm doing for the others. Would you tell her? She's just sitting and listening. Instruct her to help me. And Jesus said, Martha, you need to be like her. In this moment, I'm telling you to join her instead of having her join you. She's made a decision, and he says that she's made a choice. She has chosen the better part. It's a choice. Martha, she's made a decision, and so have you. You both made choices. Somewhere, somehow, you chose to be distracted. Other versions will say worried. You're worried about a great many things. You're distracted with a great many things, a multitude of things. But she's chosen one thing. Mary has chosen to be present in this moment with Jesus. Martha was present. She just wasn't present in this moment with him. And I don't think the lesson for us needs to be just simply don't be undistracted in your devotional time with Jesus, although that's a really good message about having undistracted time with the Lord. I'm not great calling a devotional time my time in my commute when I traveling from home to the office or wherever you might be going, and just having this time. I'm glad to have worship music on and sing. I'm glad to pray all of that. But my eyes are open, and I know I'm distracted. There are times you just need this undistracted time with the Lord. And yet, I don't think that's the only message. I think it is so important that we have undistracted time with one another, that we are present, that when we're talking with one another, that we are really present. And it may take some learning, it may take some growth, it may take strong enough relationships for you to say, where are you right now? Where did you go? can I show you the off button? Somehow to be able to be present with people, because I believe that as we are present with people and we give them our attention, we can partner with God with what He is doing in their life. As we give Him and them our attention, we can be sensitive to what God might want to say, what God might want to do. Jesus said that He only said the things that He heard the Father saying. He only did the things that He saw the Father doing. And so when we're with people, may our eyes be open and our ears be open to what God is doing in that moment. There might be a verse that comes to your mind. There might be a story. There might be an encouragement somehow as you're giving them your full attention, because we have no idea what people are going through. We have no idea why somebody is so snarly today or grouchy. Are they tired, or have they just got some really difficult news? Are they exhausted? Do they need just some care? What's going on? But we can miss it. If we're not present with people, we can miss it. And I don't want to be distracted multitasking with so many things that I'm missing what the person is saying. I'm missing the need. I'm missing the person in that moment. I'm sorry about this, but I don't have the answer about all the other things that need to get done. I don't know how to help with that. These people are still here, Jesus, and they're going to want food. And I don't know how to help you navigate through that. Maybe it's just doing less and having less and slowing down, and the things that are important, maybe they aren't all so important. I don't know how to help. I know that Jesus can help you, and I know that you can figure it out as you walk forward in these moments. What we don't want to do is we don't want to miss the people that we're with when we're with them. And that's not just having lunch or coffee or conversation. It's the people that we're with when we're checking out of the grocery store. And we're so mad at the price of romaine lettuce that we take it out on the poor cashier. Right? Or those kinds of things. Be present with the people. And I'm convinced that God will give us words of wisdom and words of knowledge, that He will touch our hearts with compassion, that we will care. And because we're present, we can bring the fragrance of Christ, because we're not distracted with so many things. Mary chose the one thing. Jesus said this. It's the one thing that's needed, and it will not be taken from her. Can you imagine Jesus saying, you're not going to lose this moment because of all the other stuff that needs to be happening? People need to know that we're present this Christmas, not worried or distracted and multitasking. And it will cost you to do this. There are lots of demands for our attention. But God will help us do this. To be present. He will help us find the off button on the phone, on the TV, on the things that demand our attention. And for me, it's far easier for me to turn someone else's phone off than to turn mine off. To see someone else is distracted than to see where I'm distracted, not paying attention. And so I just come before the Lord and say, Lord, would you help me today? To this Christmas season, be present with people. Giving people something that I have. It's in me to give. But there will be a cost to it, because it demands that I take my thoughts captive and I really show up with people and I hear. I hear what they're saying and I care what's going on in their lives, and I can bring the presence and the power of Jesus in that moment to minister to people because we're present. This is the season where we celebrate, and we're going to pray in a moment, and then the team's going to come, and we're going to conclude with a song about God's blessing on our lives. But this is the season where we talk about Emmanuel, about God with us. And aren't you just so grateful that God is with us and that He is present? Isn't it amazing that God, the God of all that there is, the God who said, let there be and there was, the creator God, that when you say, dear Lord, he gives you his full attention. His eyes are on you. His eyes are on the sparrow so much more. His eyes are on you, his kid, his child. When you say, daddy, he says, yes, you have his full attention. And because he's God, he can give us all his full attention at one moment. It's the most amazing thing. But the God of the universe gives you his attention. Surely we can give him our attention. We can give one another our attention. God with us presently, and he is still with us. Let's go ahead and pray today. God, we are so very, very grateful for the story of Mary and Martha and both of these sisters whom you loved, and it's so very clear, and their brother Lazarus, who you loved. God, this interaction with this family. God, so different, these girls and their brother. But God, Jesus, you came and you gave them your attention. With their brother Lazarus, it just seemed like it was too late. Had you been here? And yet we saw the miraculous take place with Lazarus. And yet we see the miraculous take place with Mary and Martha. You not only did Martha welcome you into her home, but Jesus, you welcomed them into a closeness with you. And Jesus, we're so grateful that you welcome us into a closeness with you. We're so grateful that wherever we go, that we get to be present with you. You've chosen to be present with us, Emmanuel, God with us. We're so grateful. We don't have to be in a church building on a Sunday. God, we get to be with you all week long. We thank you that when we wake up in the night and we're afraid or we're fearful or we're worried or we're concerned, God, that you work the night shift, that we can come to you in the night. God, we thank you that we can come to you in the day, in moments and intersections throughout the day, that when we give you our attention, you've already given us your attention. Your eyes are on us. God, we're so grateful. Oh, how you love us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we are called the children of God. God, we're just so grateful for your love and for your presence and that you chose to be with us. You're the God who comes near. God, I pray for everyone here this day who's struggling with feeling distant from you. God, I pray that gap would just be closed, that there would be a closeness today. God, so many people facing so many things, surprises, diagnoses, God, just struggles. You are the God who comes near, and I pray that there would be an awareness of your nearness for each person today. You're not the God who holds out his arm and standoffish. You're the God who draws near. We thank you that Hebrews tells us that we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus, what you did, not only did you draw near, but you have drawn us near by your blood. Thank you for the nearness that we have with you. And God, I pray that we would be able to just walk in awareness of the closeness. Lord, we pray that you would help us be present with people, that we wouldn't be so distracted by the list of things that we've got to do and accomplish, of the demands on our time, and there's so many. God, help us walk with a cadence, with a rhythm of life that we can get the stuff done, but God, we wouldn't miss the people in the midst of it, that we could be present, that hailing frequencies would be open, that our ears would be open to your voice, that our eyes would be open to see what you're doing, that our hands would be willing to be your touch to people this Christmas season, that we could be present, and because we are, you would use us to minister to others. God, help us be Christmas present this season, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.